Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. Good to have you here with us each and every week. By the way, last week we had some audio issues that were going on, and, well, we're not sure what the issues were. We're still searching those out. But Alice was kind enough to host the radio program, but as those of you that are on the broadcast last week found out, it didn't go off quite as well as planned. So we're not sure where the technology issues were. We're hoping that we don't have those again today. And Blog Talk tells us their system and technology is working well, so we should be in good shape. Appreciate you tuning in with us. Again, this is the first of a broadcast of its nature, the first of a kind, produced by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals. And we were awarded the Progress in Lending Innovation Award of 2013. Very excited to be have received that award and have you as a listener across the country. As we look at people dialing in, there's literally people dialing in from all over the entire country, and I know listening to it live is via streaming. Tell others about the broadcast. It's a great way to keep you up to date on what's going on everything related to the industry, from interest rates all the way through to legislative updates to how to have a successful branching program. And we've got, as our special guest a little later on the broadcast, Adam from Pro Mortgage Branching Solutions, and Adam Seidel is with me and is on hold, and we can't wait to get to his segment. But without a further ado, a special thank you goes out to our sponsors. United Guaranty is having their 50th anniversary. A special thank you to them, as well as Alamode, who is also a sponsor. We'll talk about them a bit later in the broadcast. Without further ado, let's get over to talking to Joe Farr. What's going on in the market,
hey,
Joe? Good to have you with us. What is the
MBS?
Are they up and down? I mean, I was off for a vacation, but I did check with my one thing I did check is what was happening. And what a great, valuable website and service you have. So, anyway.
Well, good. Good. You couldn't get away from it.
Well, it's something. Mortgage lending is in your blood. Even on vacation, you do have a day to watch it.
Dave, today MBS prices are down just a little bit, a couple 30 seconds. It's been the price has been bouncing around between the same level where we ended Friday and down 4. So, it hadn't been a real clear direction one way or the other. This morning, pending home sales came out, and they were lower than last month by 4/10, but that was better than expected. The consensus was for them to be 1% lower than last month. And you might remember pending home sales in May were through the roof and highest they've been in years. And so, being off of those levels is not a bad thing. And just, it's nice to note that pending home sales, along with last week's new home sales, which were very good, are both measures of contracts signed. And so they're a little more timely when you're looking at the kind of movement in interest rates that we've seen. MBS prices started to fall. Mortgage rates started to rise around the 1st of May. And even with the big rise that we saw, pending home sales are at near five-year highs, and new home sales are at five-year high. So the rise in rates that we saw in May and through the first part of June are, so far anyway, have not had a big negative impact on the housing market.
That's it. Well, let's talk about last week while I was on vacation. It appeared to be fairly quiet from what I could pick up from your website and then the post that coming out from you.
Well, there's a little daily volatility, but for the week there's just a small increase in rates, and there really wasn't a lot of economic news to come out. As I mentioned, new home sales came out, and they were very good. Those were best level in 5 years. Existing home sales fell just a little bit, but they remain near the highs since the start of the financial issues that we've seen. And then durable orders were very good if you looked at the headline number, but once you dug into it a little bit, most of the increase was due to aircraft orders, and so you know it wasn't that strong a number. But net, you know, last week was kind of wait and see, because this week is full of big stuff. You know, this week we've got the Fed meeting. It begins tomorrow, and it'll be a statement will be released at 2:00 Eastern time on Wednesday. And you know, the Fed watcher, what's his name, John Hilsenrath, is
Hilsenrath. Yeah,
you know, somebody people give him a lot of credit for being, you know, very familiar with what's going on in the Fed, and he's anticipating that they're going to come out with some further guidance or stronger guidance as to keeping the Fed funds rate low for an extended period of time, longer than what people currently think. And, you know, that will be a good thing for certainly for stocks and maybe for mortgages, but at the same time, that gives them more license to go ahead maybe in September and announce the beginning of the taper. And so, you know, this step one might be to let people get the sense that they're going to keep what they control, the Fed funds rate, low for a long
right.
period of time, and they will maybe start to get out of the bond buying. So it'll be interesting to see. It's hard to handicap right now if that kind of announcement would be good or bad net for mortgage rates. Also next week, we got the second quarter GDP, the first look at second quarter GDP. It will come out at 8:30 on the morning of the Fed statement, so it'll be information that the Fed has access to as they're considering what they might do and say. Current consensus is for a 1% growth rate, which is, you know, pretty small, given that last time it was pretty poor and it was 1.8%. And this is, I don't know enough about it to explain it well, but they're recalculating, they're adding new things into the calculation of GDP this time that are new, and it has to do with, what is it? It's like works of art and music and copyright kind of stuff. It's new stuff that they're beginning to count in GDP. And it'll be interesting to see how much impact that has on that 1% number. So also next week is the jobs report, Friday. Jobs report comes out, and 175,000 net new jobs are in the consensus. It was 195,000 the month before. You might remember when that June jobs report came out on July 5th, it was a pretty negative day for mortgage rates. Unemployment is expected to fall back to 7.5%. It rose slightly in the prior month. So ECB meeting, don't remember what day that's on. Let me look real quick. But it too could be a market moving event overnight one of these, or late in the day one of these days. It's on Thursday. So just a lot of stuff going on. Headlined the Fed meeting and then the jobs report. Second quarter GDP, the ISM index on Thursday, and the ECB meeting on Thursday. So it's just a big week.
Well, it's gonna. You got to have a service like MBS Quoteline, and you might as well have the best. So go with MBS Quoteline if you're going to stay on top of this. Again, Joe, when I was on vacation, I was always checking things that you were posting. It was one of the things as the alerts as they come out. Again, short, sweet, to the point, which I love. And then also your website. I've got it open here on my other screen looking at it. Very, very impressive, the amount of data that's there. Again, it's the conciseness of it. It's so easy to get to and just very, very valuable. Appreciate you being with us and being a part of the broadcast. Sorry about the issues of last
week.
Well,
thank
you. You and Alice did a great job, but I know it generated a lot of phone calls. We apologize to the listeners on that. But good to be with you again back in the studio. And, folks, we look forward to bringing Adam Seidel on later in the broadcast. But stay tuned to learn how you can get signed up for MBS Quoteline. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
MBSQuoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you back with us. Appreciate it. You be with us and telling others about the broadcast. God, we have people dialed in all from all over the country. Good to see that. And we appreciate you telling your friends and associates about it. I'm looking at the IMF News website right now. Paul Molo is on vacation this week. We had a lot of vacations. You know, this is the time of the season to get out. I hope you all, our listeners, are getting a chance to go out and be a part of some vacation somewhere. Vacating, getting away from work. Resetting your compass, it's such an important thing. I did it, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. I was up in the Pacific Northwest enjoying 10 glorious cloudless days. And you know what a miracle that is if you're in Seattle. 10 cloudless days up there. We were up there attending a friend's, my college roommate's son's wedding. It was a lot of fun. So a special shout-out and congratulations to David and Allie Senex on their wedding. Looking over at the IMF news, what Paul's reporting right now, the Senate is likely to take up the mortgage issue this week again. It's Brendan Ivey has got an article there. Recommend you take a look at that. Merkel introduces a bill to expand HARP again. That's always an interesting. Senator Merkel, a Democrat out of Oregon, is continuing his pursuit to expand the housing affordability and refinance program. It's kind of like that, you know, the Democrats are out there just wanting to make sure we keep this housing thing going. So let's keep, we definitely all want that, but gosh, do we continue to need to stimulate it? A great question that we're going to be getting into in some future broadcasts. Housing panel passes measures that would override CFPB rules. That is quite a significant story. Go check it out over at imfnews.com. And I look at the, that's an article, by the way, Thomas Ressler is got out there. Very interesting about how the House Committee, again, has approved legislation taking aim at the mortgage rules established by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So, you know what? CFPB is here to stay. That's law. That's passed. But, you know, they're definitely wanting the best of that. So keep things fluid and interesting, and a great place to go to get all the news updates is IMF News. So quick other things on their website, unidentified lenders account for a growing share of jumbo MBS security market. Again, another Brandon Ivey article that's out there. Paul was on vacation because he definitely doesn't have any articles up here. But we say a special thank you to our partnership with IMF News. Pleased to have them be a part of our broadcast and wish Paul a very hopefully a relaxing vacation wherever he may be. Alice is also on vacation, sent me her update on what's going on. She said, Dave, probably the most significant data point, and Andy, the Profit Doctor, is going to be talking a little bit about this a little bit later, is the legislative update. Alice pointed out that the CFPB sues a mortgage company over alleged loan officer compensation practices. On July 23rd, again, this hit the news pretty big, a CFPB filed a complaint against an Ohio-based mortgage banking company and two of its officers for giving bonuses to loan officers who allegedly steered consumers into mortgages with higher interest rates. The complaint is alleges that the company and its two officers violated the Federal Reserve Board's loan origination compensation rule by instituting quarterly bonus program that paid more than 150 loan officers greater bonus compensation based on the terms and the conditions of the loans that they actually closed. Rather interesting information on that. We'll have some information for you. If you want to email me, I'll be happy to send that over to you. Fascinating information as to the reach of the CFPB. And about the time you think we're settling down on the loan officer compensation practices, you see these lawsuits, and it kind of just says, you know what, there's been some changes that have been rulings that have been favorable for loan officers. But Alice is saying, boy, pay attention to this one. It's a biggie. It's a red letter day when we see a red letter. It's a big news item when we see that. Also, Alice said she wanted to make sure everyone understood that housing finance reform bills advance in Congress on July 24th. The Housing Financial Services Committee approved a comprehensive housing financial reform bill outlined recently by the committee chairman, Jeb and Hensarling, from a Republican from Texas. The chairman indicated that the bill could improve the House could move to the House floor and be considered as move forward in August. If they're trying to get it done before the August recess. So lots of information on that. Stay tuned for us. We'll be bringing you updates on that and a lot more. We wish Alice a very wonderful vacation as well. Again, 'tis the season to be out there enjoying it. We appreciate many of you, someone even texted me, says, Dave, I'm on vacation. I'm watching you. I'm listening to you and can't wait to be watching you. We're going to be switching over to now to audio, but also doing video here a little bit later on in the year. Exciting stuff. So anyway, stay tuned.
Hey,
we've got Adam Seidel coming. Yes, Joe.
Just regarding that House bill, that was one of the things we were going to talk about a little bit last week as before we had the technical issues we had. And and MBA has put out action advisory alerts, or you know, their political action committee, because there is a lot in that House bill, and I just wanted to bring up a couple things. Both the House and the Senate are looking at doing things on the FHA capital, and the House bill, is, as I understand it, suggests several things to improve FHA strength and going forward, and that includes raising the down payment, lowering the loan limits, eliminating HECMs, reducing the guarantee, a VA kind of thing, and then increasing the power with which they can force a repurchase. And so those are all sort of the negative side of things, but there's some very good stuff in that bill too. They're proposing to repeal the QRM. They're delaying asking or delaying the QM by a year, delaying Basel III, trying to fix the points and fees calculation. There's a lot in there that can be very impactful in the industry, and I encourage everyone to become familiar with it and to to look into the MBA's advisory update and see how they can get involved.
Yeah, email me, and if, for those of you listeners that are wondering how can I get a hold of it, go to the MBA website, Mortgage Bankers Association, I think it's .org or .com. Check those out. Google it; it's there. And then also check Google Housing Finance Reform Update from the MBA or Advisory from the MBA. That's another way to Google it and find it. But that's really important, Joe. Thanks so much. I know I'm so sorry you guys had the issues that you did. But anyway, glad to have you touch on that a bit and kind of highlight that. So we appreciate that very much. Alice said, I asked Joe to add some of the information we tried to get to last week. And so appreciate you doing that, Joe. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, we'll be right back after this break with Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor. He is in the house, and we're going to go with him, and then followed with Adam of NetBranch Solutions, or Branching Solutions. Anyway, we'll talk to you in just a bit. We'll be right back after this ad.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
Good to have you back with us. Profit Doctor, good to have you back in the house.
Hey.
And we miss you. We miss having you when you're not here, is sharing the wisdom you have. You see, your doctors always, they have terrible penmanship, but they've got great wisdom. So bring us the wisdom. Well, and you're actually a good guy, good writing. So give us the wisdom you have for us. I mean, I was thinking about, Andy, some of the stuff that's going on with the lawsuits and compensation, loan officer compensation, and there's so many issues related to that. And one other thing I want to interject before we went into your segment was the bank. There was another announcement that came out is it was the Feds, the Federal Reserve Board, was going after bankrupt GMAC, offering $230 million in cash payments back to borrowers. So that's impressive, requiring a bankrupt company to pay back. Lots of information. So what do you have for us today, Andy?
Well, on the GMAC thing, that was loan servicing and foreclosures. And there was a previous settlement with a B of A Countrywide relating to wrongful foreclosures, and that happened 6 months ago. So we're not done yet. This is still in the works. And the thing I wanted to talk about is the CFPB's case against, it's actually a company in Salt Lake City. I think you mentioned earlier it was in Ohio, but it's in Salt Lake City. And
it's Salt Lake, Utah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I'm not going to name the names, but just to say that the company that got named is a billion-dollar company, and we know them. We know this company. We know the owners. We know the people that were named in the suit. And these are not fly-by-night slouch kind of people. These are well-respected, top of their game, very active in state association folks. I mean, these are commodity-like names that got named in this suit, and the company was a very well-respected, very prominent company. I mention that to say that the basis for the suit is that they are allegedly paying originators on a basis other than the terms of the loan. And so that's all you can, you know, compensation in amount that is based on anything other than the terms. You can only pay based on the amount that the borrower received. And so they're allegedly having been doing something other than that in a bonus structure. And I want to focus on this a little bit because as we go around the country and we review hundreds of mortgage companies a year, sometimes multiple hundreds, and sometimes it's for warehouse lenders to make certain that their operations running smoothly and their loans are getting purchased. Sometimes it's for acquisition where another company wants to buy another, and we go in and look at them to make sure that they're running right and the acquisition has a high probability of success, and on and on and on. And we see a number of places where there are variations in the interpretation and implementation of the LO comp rules. And some people are flagrant about, you know, I don't care that it doesn't say that I don't care that it says we can't do this. We're going to do it anyway. And we've seen some where they're like, you know, we're going to stay strictly by the letter to the law, or we believe that under the interpretation that came out from some of the staffers that it's okay to have a bonus pool. I mean, there's all these variations, and we see this all around the country. And what I want to focus on is, It has to be right. The CFPB is going to sue you if you don't pay exactly as outlined in that April 6th pronouncement that came out now a little over 2 years ago. And so people are trying to be competitive. People, especially when they're trying to attract net branches, even if they make them W-2 employees and are careful about how they're paid and, you know, only pay bonuses to non-direct originating branch managers. Even when people are trying to follow the rules, I hear people, you know, we're going to push this one a little bit, we're going to push that rule a little bit, because we have to be competitive. It's like that. The perception is that everybody else is doing it wrong or close to doing it wrong or playing around in the gray area. So since they are, I am too. And that's the mentality.
Yeah, it's like a perception, Andy, that if everyone's doing it wrong, let's all do it wrong so that they're not going to sue all of us. Well, this lawsuit clearly highlighted they're probably going to find a high-profile company and they're going to do something about it. So this is really good point to bring up.
Well, I can't stress enough that the company that's getting sued by the CFPB means that no one's immune, because these guys are good at what they do. They're well-respected in the industry. The leaders that are being personally named are well-respected in the industry. It's very unfortunate that this is happening to them. Well, like I said, we know these guys, and I hate that this is happening in their lives. It's incredibly disruptive, and all I can say is that cover your bases, grab a hold of your wallet. Even if you lose a little bit of volume because you got to back off on some of your aggressive recruiting strategies, you know, do it. Be cautious, be careful, because the cost of one of these lawsuits is going to be more than the revenue you would have generated from all those branches. And you might end up in jail. I mean, who knows what this is going to do? They're naming companies and the senior officers directly.
Yeah.
This is serious. Don't mess around with the CFPB. Do it right the first time, like we've always been saying, and don't get caught up in the trap of, well, everybody else is doing it, we got to do it for volume, we got to get more volume, got to add the branches. You know, the mentality of mortgage banking has been for years and years and years, do whatever you got to do to get the production in, pay them whatever you got to pay them and worry about it later. And that kind of mentality, and I've seen people even the last year paying big bonuses to branches to get them to join a company. We got to watch this stuff. We got to be careful about this stuff, and we just go back to basics, focus on compliance, and let's get down the road. But we have not heard the last from the CFPB.
Yeah, this issue is not going away, and I think that's the key to this thing. A lot of people say, "Well, Dave, if a company like is as respected as Andy, and we know this company, and they are to be respected, and they're not the fly by night, going to push the envelope. These guys have got compliance officers, and if they got named, it's a wake up call for the rest of the industry.
Yes,
you've got
exactly.
to have the T's crossed and I's dotted. You can't go it alone. You just can't figure this out on your own and not have counsel in here. And it's not just a legal issue; it's a business issue. And there's an old proverb that says, "And the multitude of counselors you wage war." It feels like we're in a war with CFPB. I know some people don't like that characterization, and I know CFPB wouldn't necessarily. They're not trying to be at war with our industry per se, but they are at odds with those that are not respecting and crossing the T's and dotting the I's. And it really comes from having multiple points of consulting on this. I'm going up where, yes, you're a consulting firm, you're pushing your consulting service. I want to keep you out of the court system. We are expert witnesses. We know how expensive it can get to have us and our group of attorneys representing you. So Profit Doctor, very, very timely. And I really appreciate you making the comments you did about this company, because I think there's a lot of companies that think, no, and you hear them, Andy. You talk to the same companies, and I ask you, how are you doing a comp, LO comp? And they go, we think, the key word is think, we got it right, and we think we're doing this right, and we've checked with some people. Well, you better not think you got it. You better be able to quote chapter and verse why you know you got it. So closing thoughts.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know you got it right, and I think one of the resources in the industry that we use to help with some of this assessment work is the guys over at Weiner Brodsky, you know, Mitch Kiter and his team.
Mitch Kiter and the group
is probably the best there is in the industry. Troy Garris, great guy up in Dallas. Give him a call. I mean, we're not here just to pitch Mitch Kiter's company. We don't make anything by referring them. We want people to stay out of trouble. And so give them a call, get this stuff reviewed, get your policies reviewed, make sure your LO comp stuff is straight up and correct. And even if you got to pay Weiner Brodsky $10,000 to review your policy, whatever they're going to charge you, it's going to be worth it, because you do not want this to happen to you.
Yep. We could go on and on and on about that. That's one of our soapbox issues Andy and I stand on together and scream at all the conferences we speak at. But we appreciate you, Profit Doctor Number One, being back on the radio, back from vacation. And it's a thrill to hear you sharing your wisdom again.
Thanks, Dave.
Still can't
as
read
always.
Your, still can't read the Profit Doctor's writing, but that's all right. He
no,
types
no,
well,
no.
So.
I got to work on that. That's why I type.
Appreciate you, Profit Doctor. Folks, we'll be right back after this break. Stay tuned. We've got Adam coming up right after the break and talking to us about all that's going on with debt branching, how you can do it intelligently and compliant, but more importantly, grow it. So it's going to be a great – I'm really looking forward to this interview. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Another company that I want to say a shout out to is United Guaranty. They're having their 50th anniversary, and United Guaranty is thankful. We're thankful that they're a part of our broadcast each and every week. We're also, United Guaranty is thankful to all of their customers for helping the company reach an important milestone, this 50th anniversary. They got started in 1963. That's a long time ago, 50 years ago. And they were three employees at a small office in downtown Greensboro, North Carolina. And United Guaranty now employs over more than 1,000 per mortgage professionals and support a staff that is at its headquarters and locations throughout the country around the world. Today, United Guaranty is an industry leader with superior financial strength and solid capital position. The company looks forward to celebrating its 50th anniversary with people who matter the most, their customers. And we appreciate them being, again, a sponsor. You can check them out. Go to the website, www.lickitonlending.com. Click on the website up in the right hand corner. You see UG's, United Guaranty's logo. And there's a little thumbnail up there. Press on it, take you out to their information. We want to say again, congratulations for 50 years of outstanding service to our industry, and thank them for being a part of our broadcast. Very much appreciate it. Let's get over to our special guest. I've been looking forward to this interview for a while because branching can be such a problem and challenge for so many. And our special guest is Adam Seidel and of Pro Mortgage Branch Solutions. From Baltimore, Maryland, he has 25 years of mortgage experience and best known as the Branch Match Guru. So it sounds like a dating service, but it's never good to have Adam on here. But he is known for pairing successful branch managers with optimal retail platforms. His company was founded in 2009 with the former First Metropolitan Mortgage Executive, CEO Daniel Jacobs, and they created an approach to retail branching placements that's worked very successfully. It has yielded a 92% success rate. That is quite astounding. In fact, when I heard that, and we connected at a recent conference the Mastermind Conference. Got so many good connections from that conference. And I talked to Adam and also talked to Daniel there for a little bit and said, we've got to have you on the broadcast, but because your representations are so bold, 92% success rate, you need to send us references. I need to check this out. We did check their references, and they do have an outstanding reputation with the companies they work with. So, Adam, welcome to the radio. Appreciate you being here with us.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
There are three common mistakes candidates make when seeking new job opportunities, and you and I had talked about this before the broadcast and wanted to have you share the three common mistakes. Let's start with the three common mistakes candidates make.
Well, yeah, it's an important question because a lot of people that I talk to, the first thing they ask is about the economic opportunity with the company itself. And that's a big mistake because really what they really want is a company with good culture, communication,
yeah,
turn times. And when you really ask them more in-depth questions, you'll find out that that's really the truth. And maybe secondly, a lot of the candidates I speak with...
So the first thing you're saying, Adam, is they need to make sure they check out the culture, so that makes sure there's a fit there. Am I summarizing that one right?
Yeah, I mean the mistake they're making is they're looking at the dollar signs first. instead of the culture.
They let the dollars
leave.
Yeah. Good point. Okay, second thing.
So the second mistake they make sometimes is they talk to an internal recruiter, so a recruiter working directly for a company. And these recruiters, they all say the same thing. They all say they've got great turn times. They all say their rates are great. And they all say the culture's great. So what's the truth? Well, most candidates, when they hear that, they listen and they believe it for the most part. And they don't do any background checks themselves into the company. So, you know, it's amazing. Like, when you do a mortgage loan, you do verification for a mortgage loan. But in most cases, candidates are not doing the verification when looking for a job. So I find that to be a big mistake as well.
Yeah. So not asking for references and talking to people, that's number two. And what's number three?
Number three would be not employing a professional consultant. Because when you do that...
Consultants love hearing that, don't we, Andy? Profit sharing.
Absolutely. It's music to my ears.
So what happens is that the typical person I speak with, when I ask them, you know, who they've spoken to and so forth, it turns out maybe they did a little search on the internet or got a referral from someone, and they called one or two companies that they've known or they've heard of, and there's so many other companies out there offering so much that they never get in touch with. And by contacting a professional who can hear what they have to say and what they're looking for, they can fit them with the right company. And so the big mistake is that they limit their search.
They limit it. They are too limited in their search, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Interesting. Joe, I know you got some you got perspective because you used to recruit a lot of branches in there. I wonder what your perspective is from someone who used to bring on branches.
Well, I wanted to flip that around and talk about it from the corporate side. But before we got there, can you kind of, when you mentioned a corporate culture, give me four or five examples or three or four examples of different corporate cultures that you look for or you see?
Great question.
Yeah, you know, we currently have about 12 companies that we currently are recruiting for. And really, they do. They all have different cultures. For example, I've got one company that really is perfect for the small branch, the 1-2 loan officer, because what they do is, you know, their fees are a little higher. It's not about volume. It's more about communication and helping them grow to maybe, you know, doubling their business, something of that nature. And then you have the bigger companies that offer the really good rates and offer a lot on the help on the realtor side because they help or enhance that business. And, you know, they're looking for the larger branches. So the culture of the company could fall into a lot of different areas, but it really comes down to the communication. That's where I find, you know, the culture is different from one place to another.
Okay, thank you. And so let's flip around that Dave's question to the company, and what are some of the common mistakes that the company makes in recruiting branches or branch managers into its operations?
Well, the biggest mistake is they're getting a resume from a branch manager or a loan officer, and they're not properly vetting and getting to know who the candidate truly is. There are more ways than just looking at a resume. You really want to search the candidate by doing a Google search and doing the other types of proper background checks, calling up their references. Most people do not call references, and they really should. That's one mistake I see. The second is going for volume instead of quality. And
right.
I think today's market is a perfect example of that because, you know, 3 months ago, you know, the refi business was booming. Now that rates have jumped up a little bit, it's turned into a purchase market. And a lot of those companies out there that had a lot of branches that were heavily weighed on the refi are hurting right now. So you probably, you know, as a company, you want to mix it up. You want to have, you know, you want to have your purchase branches, you want to have your refi branches, you know, don't, you know, make sure you have a nice mix there. So when rates do fluctuate, you still have a good amount of business coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, it's really not understanding who they are as a company and what they do well. Don't just bring on someone because they have high volume or high volume potential. Really, the question is, do they fit the philosophy of the company? So that would be my three reasons.
Yeah, and I guess along those lines, and Andy's talked about this in other shows, that you can grow too fast. You know, if you bring on a couple branches that are really big producers and you're not used to it, it can turn out to be a disaster.
I see that all the time. When you grow so fast, and typically the infrastructure follows after the growth, and mm-hmm. it's just too late at that point. And that creates a lot of turnover in the business.
Well, hey, good to have you on the show. It's Andy. I have a couple quick questions for you relating to some of the, I'll call it counterparty risk. It's part of the assessment process. And if we're looking at adding a new office, want to bring somebody on, how do we go about assessing that? And so I wanted to hit on a couple of points relating to that and had a quick thought. You know, there's the old joke about how do you tell if a lawyer's lying? Well, their lips are moving. And we've,
I don't think Mitch Kinder would appreciate that. Mitch is important.
I know. We're talking about civil litigants, okay, not corporate people like Mitch. So, you know, when we've been working with companies to add branches, we always look at the secondary marketing impact and the hedging transactions associated with that. And whenever we're adding a branch, we always are asking the branch managers, okay, what's your volume and what's your pull-through? And the reality is it's almost always not what they said it is. Not that they're lying, but they just may be too optimistic in their conclusions. And so when you're talking to a potential new branch and you're asking them questions about their business, and they say, well, don't just ask me here. Call my references. Talk to all these people about me to find out all the how good I am for you guys to have me be one of your branches. Give me some of your thoughts on this whole assessment process, and should we rely on the personal recommendations that someone else gives about a branch, or how do we really get to the truth about what they've done?
That's a great question. Personally, when I'm talking to a candidate and they're giving me numbers of their production, I really dive into that and ask them more direct questions. A lot of times the numbers they're giving you thinking that if the company that they were at today was perfect, then they would be closing this amount, or if they had no fallout. That's the kind of numbers they're giving you. So you got to take it with a grain of salt. Also, you know, if you're hearing refi numbers from 6 months ago, 5 months ago, you really have to maybe cut that back by almost 75% today, because that's just not going to be there anymore. So those two things, you know, when you take that approach, the numbers they give you, it's going to be a lot less. And I present the real numbers to the people I'm recruiting for, not the numbers that they're saying to me over the phone.
Yeah.
Now, in regards to, getting a resume or getting a personal referral from another company, you got to take that with a grain of salt, because they may be a fit for that culture and who they're working with. It could be best friends. But when they come work for your company, it may not be that great of a fit. And what I see some companies do is when they get that, you know, personal recommendation or personal referral, they don't do the vetting they should be doing and the background checks they should be doing. And they bring them on pretty quickly, and turns out that the volume is just not there and the culture fit's not there as well.
Well, really having someone like you to help sort that out and really get to the reality, I mean, that's what we do with our acquisition due diligence, is it really what you think it is? So I think it's a great service you guys are offering to help with this.
Thank you.
I think it's really important. I think a lot of what you're talking about is transparency. And one of the things you say and recommend, if I understand correctly from talking to you before we let you on the radio, we were checking your references, is you really drill into this, Adam. And you, and make this a real point. And you, one of the things you say is, you know, strip down naked in front of a mirror before engaging their search. I mean, it's transparency. It's getting real. Talk about that. Why is that so important? How can people bring about that transparency without making themselves feel so vulnerable that they're really giving up a real opportunity here?
Right. Well, I mean, that quote really means is that the company themselves, they have to really know what they're about and what they want. Until they can really come to terms with who they are, then they can, you know, eliminate the turnover that is so, you know, prevalent in the industry right now. So, if, for example, you know, if a company comes to terms that, you know, really what they are is they really help with the small shops who are doing
right.
purchases, who are dealing with realtors, that's the type of people they should bring on, and they shouldn't bring on a reverse guy who's doing 20 loans per month if that's not what they, you know, what they're good at.
But when you're talking about, you know, these companies and them knowing who they are, how do you do you really find that companies know who they are and are able to articulate it to a candidate?
Maybe 50% of the time. It is
yeah.
a big problem.
How do you help a company get there?
Good question. I had a recruiter from a company call me a couple weeks ago and said, Adam, you're sending me the smaller branches. You know, do you have any guys doing, you know, 10 million or more per month? And I said, sure I do. But honestly, if I send them to you, they're not going to be happy and you're not going to be happy. It's just not a good fit. I was like, you're treating these $1 million, $1.5 million branches really well, and they love you. And that's, you know, that's where you need to stay. And he thought about it, and he was like, you know what, you're kind of right there. And I explained to him a little further, you know, what it would take for to handle a $10 million branch, and they just don't have the infrastructure to handle something like that.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Well, you talk about, Adam, the fact that there's this alignment test that needs to be a checked, kind of, you know, stripped down naked. What's the truth? What's the reality? What's the philosophy? What's the objectives? And how does that best fit with the branch and the company? And so when those things aren't in alignment, and it's been my experience, and I know Dave and Joe both have been looking into this industry for 30 years, that a lot of times the guys get real excited about who they're going to work with. They don't really ask all the questions. They just shake hands after having several glasses of wine and go, yeah, let's do this. And then all of a sudden, you know,
right.
it doesn't work, and we're surprised by it that it didn't because we didn't ask any of the questions. Everybody just feels good about us, so they think it's going to work. So what do you think contributes most to this, you know, people's expectations not being met results in high industry turnover. So, what's causing that, and how do you see we can get that solved?
Well, from the company perspective, I mean, the turnover really is about trust. Most branches that I talk to that are looking for new opportunities are looking because they don't trust the companies they work for anymore. Now, it could be because, hey, they tell them it's going to be 24 to 40-hour turn times, and turns out to much more than that, and then it affects a purchase deal, and it only takes one purchase deal. You lose that. Then you lose the trust of the realtor. So, you know, a company need what these lenders need to understand is, and most of them, a lot of them do, but not all, but they have to understand that they're not hiring a branch. They're becoming a business partner.
Yeah.
And as a business partner, you've got to hear from both sides and grow that way. And those companies that do that, that treat their branches like business partners, are the ones that have the least amount of turnover.
Good points.
That's a really good point. Joe?
Well, that leads me to go back to the first comment we made, which was the success rate's 92%. How do you measure that?
Well, it's measured by, you know, the loan officers and branches that we're recruiting. You know, once they are up and running with a company that I've suggested, and we've made that match, are they still there today? And that's why our success rate right now is 92%.
Well, and I guess the harder to measure, are they happy there, and is the company happy they have them? But I guess that kind of all goes into it, doesn't it? Or else they'd be somewhere else.
Exactly. I mean, in both cases, yeah. If the company's not happy, they're not going to be there. And if they're not happy, they're going to be calling me up and saying, "Hey, I'm what? You know, you told me this, and it's not this." So, luckily, yeah. I've done my vetting and my background searches with the companies I recruit for, because I can tell you.
Do we lose you there?
Hello.
Sounds like.
Yeah, Adam? It sounds like we may have lost Adam. Adam may have backed out there. So Adam, if you hear us, are you there? Back?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. Lost you for a second. So what I was saying was that, you know, of the 12 companies that I'm currently recruiting for, there's maybe 30 companies out there that have called me that I've denied. I've told them, I'm sorry, you're not a good fit. Because you know, they say they have these turn times or this culture that really isn't true, because I call the branch managers from these companies and I ask them simple questions. Are you happy? You know, what do you like best? What do you not like best? And that's, you know, when I determine whether or not I want to recruit for that company.
Yeah, that's and people, culture is the utmost of importance. You know, it's the thing that's going to keep your people happy or not, you know, even to the extent of your back office. You know, you don't want to have a branch whose sales guys are used to just throwing applications in and expecting somebody else to do all the work, when that's not the way that company's organized.
Right.
So what changes have you seen recently? We talked earlier in the show about interest rates having started to, you know, have risen a bit since the 1st of May, and I just wondered if that's changing how you put people together.
Sure. I mean, right now, for the most part, most companies out there are looking for purchase business, and they're also looking for reverse business as well, too. So obviously reverse and purchases. And, you know, that's typically your purchase branches are, you know, have developed relationships and have been with companies for a long time. So the companies that are trying to pull them away right now are trying to offer more than just a great culture, but they're offering ways to bring in that realtor business. So maybe they're developing websites for realtors, or they're in some ways or capacity sending customers over to the realtors, enhancing their business, because that's what's going to drive realtor business to come back to the loan officers.
I think it's interesting we start looking at the shift in the business going from refinance to purchase, and really has that impacted how you are recruiting? I mean, when a lot of people say that we're late in that cycle, they said, they took advantage of the refinance cycle as long as they could, and now they're shifting to being a purchase. So how do you vet out whether or not someone is making, or how effective they're going to be in that shift, or where they're at? And if they got caught up in the refinance mania, do you just say, sorry, you got to go out and, you know, how do you work through that?
You know, if they're in a transition period where they're making that switch from the refi to purchase, the success rate of that is not very high.
Yeah, I know.
But, I mean, there are some exceptions to the rule. So I may start someone like that out with a company that has a culture that would fit that candidate. And I do have a couple companies that would be a perfect fit for someone like that who can help them develop that purchase business. Some companies I recruit for, you know, they want people that are already very successful, you know, in the recruiting area. And I would never send someone. It wouldn't be a good fit. But obviously, there is a fit
back
for
to
someone
the culture.
Like that out there.
Yeah,
exactly.
It goes back to the culture. I'm looking at the clock, and I want to get through the last of these points because there's some really great questions here. But what advice would you give to a candidate who is trying to get back into the business? Most everyone on the broadcast is in the business, but we have some listeners that are not. They went to the sidelines for a while and now want to get back in. So what's your advice to them?
Well, you know, back in 2008 and beyond, someone who was getting back into the business or even getting into the business could open up a branch, but that's not true today. Someone who's getting back into the business has to go out and they have to get licensed, and they have to really start out as a loan officer and develop business for at least a year before maybe opening up a branch. But most people, that's what they want to do. They want to open up a branch. So I have positions available for people that are licensed, looking to get back into the business. And I can help that potential candidate out.
Well, they certainly have raised the entry barrier to the industry than from what it was 5 years ago. And as we look back over the last 5 years in the industry and we look at the, you know, there were people that were unemployed for 2008 or 2009, or companies had repurchase demands and lawsuits and bad credit issues happening in foreclosures. And now we're learning that a lot of them were wrongful foreclosures, and lenders are having to pay borrowers for the wrongful foreclosure. But I don't see anybody jumping up and down to run over and fix the credit report. But nevertheless, mortgage industry got whacked badly by credit issues. At least a lot of people did, not everybody, obviously. But how now, in getting back in the business, building a business, hiring a branch manager, how important is personal credit when looking for at a branch management position?
Well, I'm going to go back to culture again. You know, when you look at maybe a chartered bank, when they're hiring loan officers and branch managers, they're still pretty tough on credit. A bankruptcy could deny even a loan officer from coming aboard. But your typical lenders and bankers out there that do not have a charter, they're much more lenient, especially for a loan officer. They could have a BK, especially in 2008, which has happened with a lot of people out there. And they're okay with that because the state has to issue them a license. And the way they feel that is if the state went ahead and issued them a license, then they're okay.
Okay, that's good to know.
That is important to know. Joe, we got time for one more question.
Yeah, one more question, and that is, what are the guys that are looking for new employment? What are their biggest concerns right now?
Well, when someone calls me, typically the first thing they ask me about are rates. They want to know, hook me up with the
Joe's
best place that has the best rates. Right. And you know what? When you sit down with a candidate, when you get on the phone with them, and you start asking them the real questions, it's really not about rates. It comes back to how they were treated and the trust of that company. It's really the ability to compete on all levels. They want to be a partner with a company versus a number.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah,
so you help people do that. Adam, that's your role. That's your goal. You're known as the branch match guru. So obviously you didn't get that awarded that title or earned that title by making a lot of mistakes, nor did you get there by having, less than 92%. That's pretty impressive, like Joe was saying. So how can people get a hold of you? And let's wrap up the broadcast with your contact information and how they can connect with you.
Thanks. Well, first you can go to our website, which is www.pmbs.net, like Paul Mary Boy Super.net. And I'll give you my direct line, too. You can call me direct at 410-363-1598. Either way, will get you right to me.
I appreciate it so much. Your email address is Adam, or A Seidle, Siddle, at pmbs.net. So, Adam, thank you so much for taking time for being with us. Appreciate it, and sharing your wisdom and insights into it. And, folks, we did check out Adam's references to make sure, because there's a lot of people in the branch that would like to claim the branch match guru, but few have the background that he does. He checked out extremely well. The clients that he's working for are very, very pleased with him. Thank you so much, Adam. Appreciate you. Have a great week, and
I
look forward to having you back on the broadcast. Adam,
so if
Andy,
you want to avoid PMS,
you...
if you want to avoid PMS, go to pmbs.net.
You do that. Joe, what's going on to the markets as we get ready to go to the window? I'm looking at your screen, and
well,
things are flashing around here.
We're down. We're down about to the low for the day, but it's still within that morning range, down 4.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's down that normal range, so, but it is waffling around. The drums are started, which means we're done. We made it through, Joe. The technology issues didn't show up, so we have to. It worked all the way through. So glad. Appreciate it. Profit Doctor, good to have you back in the house. and on the show, of course, and always a pleasure to hear share your wisdom, folks. Andy's what he said earlier in the broadcast about not assuming you've got it. Don't think you have your compensation right. Make sure you do. You don't want to be named in that lawsuit. Andy, that was great wisdom. Joe, appreciate you bringing in a market update. Next week we'll have Alice back with us, and we're glad to have all the rest of the team back. I'll be here. Appreciate you telling others about the broadcast, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Elvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.